So MAGFest was last week.
Yeah, that didn't go perfect.
Yeah, it didn't go perfect at all. In fact, it was Kevin's first MAGFest.
Yeah, and
he tried.
I made it, and
he gets the gold star for effort.
Physically, I made it there. For like an hour. He
technically went to MAGFest.
I did.
He was able to get his badge for all of 1 hour.
And then, so I hurt my back like 2 years ago now. And we don't know how bad it was because I certainly didn't go to a doctor about it. But intermittently, it's caused me a lot of problems. And then, you know, if I'm walking around for a little while and then ride a bumpy shuttle bus and then walk around for a while and then ride a bumpy shuttle bus, it decided to let me know that I had to go home now.
Yeah. So he had back pain when we went back to our hotel. So
yeah, I was kind of laid out for the next day or two.
I was going mostly alone, but I had a great time. It was a really good time. It was Mega Man X themed this year.
Yeah,
very cool stuff.
Hey, your boys were playing there, right? The Proto Men.
The Proto Men played. I did not see they debuted Act 3. I did not stay to see it because I wanted to like ride the high of MAGFest going home.
Mm.
Because I knew if I went to see the Proto Men, it was going to be crowded and packed. I probably wasn't going to be able to get in. I was probably going to have to do like the overview, like overflow showing. And then I would want to go home immediately afterwards, which would involve trying to beat the rush getting out of the convention center.
You ever tried to leave a concert?
To get to the shuttles? Because I was taking the shuttle, because I got a room in Alexandria instead of at the Gaylord or anywhere near there, because they had shuttles this year, like free shuttles, which is super cool. I really liked it. It was less of a hassle.
I'm just weak.
Yeah, it was less of a hassle than I thought it was going to be, and I met a lot of cool people on the shuttles. Speaking of which, I need to reveal, you are part of the trash drive.
This is a
trash panda.
I just handed him one of the ribbons that people hand out at MAGFest. People will make various little ribbons that have adhesives on them, and you're supposed to stick them to your badge, and people collect them like Pokemon cards each year.
And we're all trash tribe.
Yeah, so there was a raccoon girl on the shuttle with me.
I wasn't aware of this trash thing, but yeah, cool.
So I appreciate you. If you're listening, appreciate you, girl. Good time.
Shout out to all trash tribe members.
Yeah, anyone in the trash tribe, respect, represent.
I hope they'll be there next year. We'll see if I can commit to
I would like for us to go as Squire's Room, if we can pull that off. I would like to be able to have the clout to do that.
You know what? So I don't know if I've told this joke on here, but I'm definitely going to tell it now, because I think it's very funny. I think it's a really funny idea to go to a convention dressed as a clown with a little duffel bag. You got a tag on you that says that your name is Cuckles the Clown.
Cuckles the Clown.
And then what you do is you walk up to people. And then maybe you have a partner clown with you who's, you know, just there.
Oh.
And then what you do is you open up the duffel bag, and in your duffel bag you pull out your stool, and you got like a paper plate, pie tin type thing that you fill up with whipped cream. And then you sit on the stool and you hand the pie to somebody, just some passerby, and you're like, you gotta pie this guy for me. And then while they're pieing your friend, you just sit there like, oh, fuck yeah. And that's Cuckles the Clown.
I think you get asked to leave
pretty fast. Get the fuck out of here.
I think it's hilarious.
I'm not saying it's not, but you would be asked to leave.
Oh, get out of here, Cuckles the Clown. We don't need you.
You can't silence me! Being dragged away.
That's just your fucking D&D character, though.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's St. James, or...
Yeah, Bartles and James.
Yeah, Bartles and James. There you go.
Bartles St. James. I have a lot of jokes that I think are very funny and also deserve to like get rocks thrown at you.
Yeah, that happens.
That's just merely one of a repertoire.
As it should be. Yeah, hopefully I can make it this coming year.
That would be awesome, honestly. That would be super, super cool.
I don't know if I can pull off Dagoth Ur, but...
He was mentioning he would want to go as Dagoth Ur.
Yeah, get shredded awesome. Again.
I was thinking if I like actually could commit to that, it would be like... For the first couple hours, do the super intricate thing, and then just have like a different costume that's just like I put on like one or two things, and it's just like I did the really cool thing for like a couple hours.
That's how you're gonna want it. You're very smart to have thought of that, because you don't want to be in the costume the whole time.
You feel like full makeup and shit, like nah, like I got a couple hours there max
was,
with that on.
There was a Rosalina, that's the Mario princess, right?
Yeah, the star.
Yeah, she said it took her 4 hours to put her costume on. and it didn't look very particularly involved. Which is like, I'm not saying it wasn't a good costume.
No, it just didn't have like a big set piece behind it or anything. It was,
you wouldn't think somebody just looking like Rosalina would take 4 hours to set up, but yeah, I mean, she looked great.
It does. So they put the work in. There, so many beautiful cosplays.
So many beautiful cosplays, man. That shit is fucking impeccable. I got a few pictures of a few good ones. Probably one of my favorites was Doug Dimmadome, and he had the hat.
Dude, yeah, okay, that got me.
Going like all the way up, and they had to walk with purpose because that hat was going to fall if they didn't.
Yeah.
That person, actual hero.
Words can't describe how big this hat was.
And there was a Waluigi parade. That was excellent. Yeah.
Of just Waluigi?
Yeah, a bunch of them. I think a few warriors in there. They were like chanting something and like walking through. I got a video of it because I was like, what is this? Like, it was good.
Were they chanting like, put him in Smash or something?
No, they're like Waluigi. That's what you're like, Waluigi something. Yeah, something like that.
Okay, yeah.
That is what Waluigi says. Right. Yeah. So yeah. That is more accurate for a chant for that.
It was excellent is what it was. Wah! Yeah, I was very, very satisfied with what I saw. But yeah, MAGFest, super excellent. I recommend you go and... if you do try to go next year, we will probably try to have a panel with us at Squire's Room.
Yeah.
So.
I'm more comfortable probably just trying to talk than walk around because I am...
you get to sit.
I get to
you
sit.
You get to sit.
I'm going
to
train him up. We'll get that back strong. I'm very familiar with back pain.
Yes, he is.
So, yeah, I know.
In fact...
I know how to treat it. I just don't do it often.
I mean, that's why my back pain keeps recurring.
Yeah, it is. We're lazy.
Gotta do those stretches.
There's no mystery element here.
Yeah.
And with that, welcome back to Scryer's Room. I am your host, Fanfare.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Mario.
And today, I'm going to be delving into the Skaven.
The Skaven.
And before that, if you like the nature of this content, go and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can give me a follow on Blue Sky, and you can support us on our Patreon. So, what is a Skaven?
Yeah.
Skaven are a race of...
They're not good at all.
They are a race of horrid ratmen that inhabit the Warhammer world of Malice. They are constantly scheming and plotting the downfall of all other races and their inevitable rise to the surface world. All Skaven are self-centered, rapacious, vile beings with evil etched into their very souls. They are the true children of chaos, creating ruin and decay wherever they go.
That sounds super chill. I wonder why they're called horrid. Not just rat men, horrid rat men.
They're horrid rat men.
There are perhaps other rat men out there we couldn't say, but these ones,
honestly,
awful.
Just the sheer nature of how chaos mutations work in Warhammer, there was most definitely a beast man that was a guy that mutated into a rat.
Yeah.
He's not a Skaven. Because specifically...
He'd be insulted.
Yeah, he would be insulted. The Skaven would be insulted because... So, beyond 4th edition of Warhammer, they make this whole like, oh, are Skaven human rats or rat humans? Who knows?
Right.
If you go back far enough, there is no ambiguity. They are rats that became people. They are rats that mutated to be more human-like and have the psychology of a rat. They are not people. They do not empathize like people. They are rats.
Yeah.
They are rats in the shape of men, which is so much worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like a dude that became rat-like is like, okay, that's creepy, but at least one point you were me. Like,
yeah, Johannes Rats in the Beastman tribe.
Yeah,
he's. I mean, I imagine by the way that like you know the Skaven, they're like small. They're not small. They're short.
They're hunched over.
They're pretty typically malnourished,
so they're weedy.
Proportionate, like they look a lot like a big rat. Whereas this guy looks like a man in a rat costume mostly. Like he's real. He's like full sized. He's 6 feet tall.
He's okay.
And he gets bullied a lot.
Isn't being like 5 foot something like big for a Skaven?
They are between 4 to 6 feet tall.
Yep.
Like a Skaven that is fed can be bigger than a man.
Ugh.
But almost no Skaven is properly fed, which I'll go into in a minute.
Right.
It's actually almost impossible for most Skaven to be well fed.
They'd need to be domesticated.
It's a biology thing.
Oh,
so before he dives into like Skaven proper, like also it's like rat men aren't like a new concept in fantasy,
right?
You know, which shout out to my new favorite boy Jack Vance. Kugel's Saga.
I remember you talking about
there's
this.
Horrible ratmen he just happens upon.
Because they take the slaves, right?
And yeah, and they get you. They literally stick a fucking hook into your ankle, attached to a chain, and they then set you up as bait to try to get other people, and if you get enough people, they say they'll let you go.
It's 10, right? If you can get 10 people, you can go.
It's points. They call it points.
That's what it was,
so you're literally earning points by fucking over other people, and it's so messed up.
We've invented a slavery pyramid scheme.
And, like, those guys are super fucked up and terrible. Skaven, probably worse.
Yeah.
We're just saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay, so the Citadel Journal 3, which is the first appearance of the Skaven,
right,
describes them as... The Skaven take the form of giant rats twisted into the parody of human shape. They are between 4 to 6 feet tall. Other physical details vary tremendously. Generations of interbreeding and constant mutating effects of warpstone have produced many strange and bizarre creatures. Skaven bodies are covered in close fur, leaving only their ears and tails naked. They have wicked little red eyes, huge sharp teeth, well suited to ripping and tearing. Most ratmen show scars or other evidence of the frequent and violent fights that are an integral part of Skaven life.
They sound great.
Having a great time. Having a great time at Skaven.
So I'm not, like, too familiar with Skaven, but, like, so Tony was saying how, like, most of them aren't well fed, and you think, like, oh, doesn't that make them, like, little bitches? And you're just like, no, you gotta think of it as, like, they're rat people, and it's just, like, not well fed, and then their society, think of it more as just, like, the lowest, like, Skaven is, like... Or at least is my interpretation, is they're like a starving, cornered animal, basically at all times.
At all times. Literally at all times.
So it's just like, if you think like, ha ha ha, oh, this thing, no, it's coming at you like a fucking crazed animal.
And yeah, there's actually a word for it in there.
Of course there is.
Yeah, it's a whole trance they can go into.
Oh.
So the Citadel Journal goes on to explain that they possess many mutations that beastmen have. In fact, there's a cute little chart in the original booklet where you can roll a D100 and you get like different mutations and like
tentacle fist, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like scaly skin or like extra head.
Just pretty like cool. Pre-chaos spawn shit, or
One of them was chaos spawn. One of them was spawned them.
Oh, okay,
yeah. And
otherwise, they just mutate a lot.
Yeah, and they are mostly brown or piebald. And black ones are considered usually stronger and more aggressive. We made this joke in a previous episode that's actually based off of the London black rat being a demon.
Yeah.
Like if the American brown rat is pretty chill. Like they make great pets and they're very like clean and like docile. The London black rat is a demon. That has been generations of just being in a city, just killing each other, have made them into Skaven.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same with like New York
and rats. The rats too, not just the people.
Well, the London black rat. I mean, sorry, the New York rat is the London black rat. They came over on those ships.
Yeah, but it's the London black rat with a New York attitude.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, making it more dangerous.
That's
and how you
scary. Get that splinter. Like,
that's how you get that splinter. Exactly. And the white ones, the or albino ones, typically make adept sorcerers and are more susceptible to warpstone. There is actually albino Skaven are held in higher esteem than all other Skaven and are often taken at birth to be trained to be the elite of the elite. In fact, the leaders of the Skaven are protected by albino storm vermin who are hulking. Like they are like some of them are like 7 feet tall. Like they're huge.
Storm vermin are their big boys, right?
Yes, yeah. These are like the elite of the elite soldiers. Yeah. I'll go into details on the titles and the units later. But yeah, so albino makes you a big deal. And then Greyford Skaven are the most susceptible to mutation and are the most rare.
Yeah.
And we will go into the Grey Seers, which typically make up their ranks.
I only really know the lore about one particular Skaven, and he's a Grey Boy, and he's the best Grey Boy.
Yeah, we'll bring up Grey Seer Thankul later on.
Are all Greys, do they get horns, or is that just...
Typically.
Okay.
Typically, like, a Grey Seer will be denoted at birth. You'll be a Greyford Skaven with, like, little nubs, and they're like, oh, he's... Get that one.
Yeah.
Built different.
And I'll explain the process of selecting Skaven in a moment here. It's quite horrible.
Isn't it always?
Which refers to the very beginning, where we said they're not good.
They're horrid.
Horrid.
We love them. But they're not good.
They're just so fun to watch because it makes you feel good about your life.
Well, we love them because they're not real. If they were real,
exactly.
They'd be a problem.
Exactly. I'm from a safe, different universe where that's not the case. so I can watch and be like, wow, look at him go. Otherwise, it'd be like, no, kill that. Kill that quickly. We all need to get together and kill that right now.
Yeah, it seems like orcs and Tyranids. It's like, those are so cool. It's like, but only because they're fake.
Yeah.
But, so Skaven have superior healing, hearing and smelling than humans, and they're able to see and or smell and hear at a higher range. Their eyesight is poor during the day, but they can see in near total darkness.
Right, because they're always underground, mm-hmm. always just
they
underground.
Basically have dark vision from D&D. And they possess very strong back legs that can propel them at twice the speed of a man, and they are typically more lithe, limber, and flexible than people. And specifically, I'll touch on this more in detail later, Clan Eshenskaven are more flexible than even that, and can do some crazy shit with their bodies. The books describe them doing, like, the anime ninja flips, mm-hmm. and, like flipping through a hail of arrows with just, like, by doing a ninja twist. It's sick.
Do Skaven only move as, like, bipeds, or can they go all
they
fours?
They can go all four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Werewolf.
I assumed, yeah. But I didn't, you know, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Skaven are very short-lived. They seldom make it past their second decade. Females are fully grown in 2 years, and males take 5. Now, typically, a Skaven who doesn't die prematurely might live on through like, their 20s.
Yeah.
But a powerful Skaven can live centuries due to magic, drugs, and exposure to Warpstone.
Yeah, you gotta get the green crystals.
Now, there's a continuity error with that age range thing. I'm gonna go into a different section, but there's a separate source, which I'll let you guys decide which one takes precedence, states that Skaven are birthed way faster than that, immature way faster than that, which if the other sources did believed, everyone is doomed. It was never even a chance.
I mean, that kind of happened in the end times.
Which, so
yeah, well.
So everything you're saying about their ages is like, oh my god, that's terrible. And then, but what I can't help chuckle about is just that, like, Gretchen or Gratz are really proud of the fact if they can make it to 2.
I'm 2 years old.
Yeah, if a Grot makes it to 2 years old, it's just like, I'm old. Like,
I'm a graybeard now,
which is just so fucked. But.
Yeah. That's not in Fungus Years. In Fungus Years, he's Vinny.
Basically.
So, Skaven possess very rapid metabolisms and typically need to eat their body weight in a day.
That's too much. That's not a good much. Animal.
Well, going back to what I said earlier, there's a reason they're not big. They're supposed to eat their body weight in a day of meat.
Goddamn, that's a swarm of locusts right there.
This isn't usually possible, and that's why most are malnourished and weedy. Their metabolisms go into overdrive when in battle. And after a fight, they are possessed with an intense hunger called the Black Hunger and will begin to consume the weak and dying. When overcome by the Black Hunger, Skaven are completely fearless and will try to eat anything and anyone in path. That's just the regular part of the life. Mm-hmm. So going back to what Mario said about a cornered Skaven, if he's starving, he's not. He will come at you until he is dead or you are dead.
I thought it was bad. I didn't think it was that bad. But damn.
It's called the Black Hunger. And yeah, at the end of a battle, anyone who looks weak at all is consumed instantly. And furthermore, they're just bad.
It's just like it's an easier system than having a bunch of different guys at different levels of hurt. What we need to do is we get all of our guys, they all eat each other until we have the exact same number of relatively the same hurt guys. It's easier to keep track of the HP pools.
Yeah, it's easy. Oh, easier.
Oh. That's the only way they earn rations. It's just that after the battle, did you live? There you go.
There was stuff out there.
There's your rations for the day.
So one of the worst things about a Skaven invasion is that Skaven do not invade anything. They infest.
Right.
And you only ever see Skaven when there isn't enough food for them to do anything else. They never want to go to the service. They know it's scary up there. But when they don't have a choice because there's not enough food, they'll take to the service in a heartbeat. And at that point, because of the Black Hunger, it boils down to either we win and we eat them, or we lose enough dudes that there's enough food downstairs again.
It's a win-win.
Win-win regardless.
Yeah.
They never actually... Similar to Oryx, Skaven seldom lose. It's just, what is the actual goal being accomplished right now, and how does this fit into my plan schemes?
And eating. That's the end goal, and this serves it.
Fucking, because it's like, in fantasy... That would make them like a weird in between of like maturation between like orcs and like people and humans,
mm-hmm.
because it's like I know, that's just like one. That's why orcs are such a problem. But then, like, Skavener in that, like, middle ground of, like,
they're not as
yeah, we can bad. Just lose, like, a couple thousand to tens of thousands. Like, we'll be all right. We'll get those numbers back up, like, in no time.
And one of the little short stories, it's the perspective of a gray seer trying to take a dwarf hold. And they send in the first wave to, like, fight. And they break after, like, a minute. And it's like, he's like, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, look, 10 to 1 casualties? Fuck yeah, we're doing good.
Yeah,
you like know. God bless, man. Like,
and then we have more food now.
Yeah, right there for the picking. That's where we get all those fucking dwarves down. Jesus,
it's practical, but it's fucked up.
And the last thing about their general biology I'm going to go over is Skaven have prehensile tails.
Yep,
and they often modify them or carry weapons with them. So they'll usually put spikes, clubs, hold a knife, do some crazy shit with them. I'm pretty sure Clan Eshin trained their tails to be strong enough to be able to do, like, hold on to limbs of, like, a branch and do, like, a flip with them.
Do the possum moves.
And Deathmaster Snitch famously wields 3 weeping blades, one in each hand and one with his tail. And he does, like, a whirlwind, like, ninja jutsu move that's really sick.
Yeah, I remember Zoro does the same move in One Piece.
Oh, hell yeah.
I have no idea.
But, yeah, so I'm gonna go into the sex and gender now. So, a favorite quote from our fellow Scryer, the Greater Good Boy, by Grey Seer Skreelin Thurntick, there are no Skaven females, just Skaven broodmothers.
Ugh.
Only 1 in 10 Skaven are born female. The narrator of the book Children of the Horned Rat, which is a supplement for Warhammer Fantasy Battle 2nd Edition, states that he's the one who stated that the males reach adulthood at 5 and females at 2. And so, by his deductions, a single litter is 1 to 2 dozen pups, and a well-fed female can have 4 to 5 litters every year. The stat block in the back of the book, however, states that the creature produces 1d10 ratlings each week who reach maturity in 2 to 3 weeks.
Hmm.
So if the second number is to be believed, everyone was doomed from the beginning. It was never even a chance. If the first number is to be believed, that's still a problem, because he actually goes into the math of that. If one female can produce 100 offspring a year, and even if 1 to 10 of these offspring reach adulthood, a single female can produce 50 females in 10 years and 1,200 warriors.
You know what?
And that's the slower number.
Yeah. Well, even with that one, it just goes up exponentially, you know, from mm-hmm. there.
So, you know what? The 1d10 rattling
yeah.
per week. That might still be a thing. That might be an accurate measure, because what you have to remember is most of those rattlings don't end up maturing. They end up feeding the other rattlings.
This is a good point. This is a good point. So yeah, that metric might still be good, because those are the ones
that survive. They're all eating each other. Yeah.
Those are the ones that actually survive. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I buy that.
Skaven math is so fucked.
Skaven math is so fucked. Oh, one fun fact. Guess how Skaven measure distance? Take a while. It only makes sense to a Skaven. It only makes sense to a Skaven.
Tails?
Tails seems like something like a...
Too obvious. Too obvious.
That's like something that, like, something that besides a Skaven could... Like a lizard man could use a tail's length.
Only a Skaven would think to measure distance this way. Based on what you have enough information based on that to know right now.
Warps. Stone.
Food stops.
Oh. How many food stops between here and there?
Yeah.
They'd probably be very familiar with, okay. This is the hard cutoff of when we can't march anymore. All of us go insane at that.
Yeah, all of us will kill each other. Yeah.
So where do we need to stop for food?
So, and it gives the metric that the distance between Altdorf and Nuln, which are two of the big Imperial cities, would be 18 food stops. Because they're going underground in a straight line, basically.
Yeah.
So, like, it's only a few days for them.
That's not good.
Yeah. No, yeah. So, I saw a picture of the Under Empire and, like, the tunnel systems. It's they have such an expressway across the entire fucking world that everyone else doesn't have access to. So, like, the Skaven can reinforce a position in, like, ludicrous amounts of time. The thing stopping them is betrayal and scheming.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I'll send you troops. Yeah, I'll send troops to your hole now that you're fucked up over there, motherfucker. I'm going to take all your shit and enslave you. And that's why Skaven don't win anything, because they're too busy doing that.
Ah, The old reinforcement switcheroo.
Yeah. It's like there's two, like, basically independent species. Not really, but they're involved in chaos. But it's just like these two species who like, technically are apart from chaos at first are just like, are pure evil. And it's just like, guys, it doesn't work. How do you not get it doesn't work? The Dark Elves and fucking Skaven. It's just like, guys, it does not work.
It's just not, you can't have society this way. It just doesn't work.
Okay, so the Skaven do have like a Hail Mary thing that I'm vaguely familiar with of like why they think it could work. Why we could just be all evil together. Because once we get all of the crack cocaine warp stone for like, me. Enough for me.
Yeah, for me, yeah.
Then I don't have to do that anymore.
Now, once we have it all, it's over.
That's a mythical amount, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
One thing I want to note, and I'll be going into this in another episode, is if you aren't familiar with the Warhammer world, there are two moons. There's Manslub and Morslub.
Yeah.
Morslub is made out of pure warpstone.
Yeah.
And the Skaven will routinely break chunks off so that it falls to the ground so they can pick it up.
Because it's
they shoot rockets at the moon.
It's like a much more unhealthy version of moon sugar from Elder Scrolls, where it's like
this a little bit more literal too.
It's like that if it was just like 10 times worse. Like
yeah.
If it was
warpstone, I'll go into warpstone soon. It's bad.
You cooked moon sugar with uranium,
yeah,
because it's mutatious. This stuff.
But going back into Broodmothers a little bit more. So there are castrated Skaven called Ratwives, or the Cut, as the other Skaven call them, who tend to the Broodmothers and keep them in a constant state of bliss with narcotics. So the second they pluck out the female to, like, go be bred, they are completely unaware of their surroundings. They are kept high 24/7 all day long, and then just routinely are pregnant.
Okay. At least they have that. I thought it was, like, lobotomy situation or something. At least it's
no, they just give drugs. From the new world? Forever. Yeah. Some are probably lobotomized, but typically though,
I was gonna say at least they give them drugs.
I mean, you know,
that was more than I was expecting.
You just live your entire life in an opium den, being tended to by femboys and getting laid.
Which Kevin just mentioned from the new world, or Shinsuke Iori, which is, you might notice a lot of similarities.
Oh yeah,
going on with the mole men and that one and the old Skaven here.
So a young Skaven is called a whelp, ratling, runt, or pup. The vast majority are raised in the whelp nests, but a few notable Skaven were raised in different ways. Famously, Seer Lord Squidar keeps pups of his own within Skavenblight, and Queek Headtaker was apparently raised by hand by Lord Nodwell of Clan Morris to be his protege. Like, Queek was, like, chosen from birth, but this one will
succeed. He was the first one to ever be an apprentice. We don't do that.
And Queek is also one of the only Skaven that understands the concept of honor. Like, he will go out of his way to try to do something honorably. Not all, but he's still a Skaven. Don't get me wrong. He's still a fucking rat man. But, like, he thinks, like, seeing a, like I want to fight that guy one-on-one because it matters that I fought him one-on-one.
Yeah.
And every other Skaven is like, what are you, stupid?
No, it doesn't. You can just kill him.
You send your underlings till he's weak and then kill him. Well, I'm going to do that, obviously, but I still want to fight him one-on-one.
Like, I can't imagine how frustrating that is for him to, like, try to explain. It's like, no, you don't get it, all right? It's like, we really don't.
We really don't.
It's like, you don't need to. Just shut up.
What's the, he's just living a Larry David life as of a Skaven.
Yeah.
Where he's just getting in predicaments.
Everything annoys him.
Yeah, there's some novels about Queek I definitely need to crunch through before I finish this series. I'm going to move on to the Skaven psychology, though. Skaven are largely selfish and unloving.
So also, not good.
Yeah, not good. Their society only values violence, cunning, and survival at any cost. The typical Skaven only thinks of their own survival and advancement, so things like remorse, pity, or close friends are deemed as useless. Skaven are always plotting and scheming to come out on top, from the lowliest slave to the Lord of the Cave themselves. They are a petty race, constantly sabotaging peers or rivals to further their own advancement. Any misgiving is attributed to someone else, every setback the working of saboteurs and jealous rivals. Every Skaven knows in his heart that he is destined to rule above all of the others, and it is only a matter of time before his ascendancy. No matter the situation, a Skaven will never recognize their own faults. Ever.
I'm built different. I know.
They're all built different. They're all just, you know, yeah, I'm different.
I love the idea of just, like, the, you know, one of the lowest Skaven, like, menials, like, half-starved, tweaking on, like, what little fucking crack-rock he managed to get. And he's just like, I just haven't found my nut yet. Like, it's coming.
Ooh, it's coming.
The comeback kid is real.
It's all coming to screech.
And he's surrounded by, like, thousands of other crazed rat dudes saying all the same shit to themselves. Like,
and this psychology is, in fact, why they are so dangerous. Because when Skaven band together, I'm not getting shot. These assholes next to me are getting shot. I'll be fine. They genuinely will believe that.
And that makes them an enemy that's not, like, you can't frighten them with gunfire, like, intimidation at all.
Until they recognize they actually are in danger, and then in which case, they're super easy. They scatter, they run, they're cowardly.
Right.
But there's this, like, tipping point,
like a zealot
where
charge.
They're basically fearless because they genuinely don't believe. Like, the Hornrat got to my back.
Different.
Like, yeah. if we're fighting right now, Skaven best, Hornrat has my back, let's get them, boys. But the second they take about half casualties, not even close to that, like, any real significant casualties, they understand that, oh, it wasn't meant to be, scatter, and then they scatter.
It's like a fucking army of invader Zims. Every single engagement, every single time, every single one of them is like, and this is it. This is the moment that I take it all over. Witness me! Ah!
Yeah, dude, basically. Yeah. So, yeah. Unless under powerful direction, every Skaven seeks the easiest and most immediate solution to their problems. It takes Skaven of an impeccable character to set aside his own schemes for even a moment and focus on the collective, which undoubtedly will still further his own schemes.
Right, of course. But, goddamn. Just herding cats.
Yeah, herding cats. Very accurate.
Come on, guys. If we all work together, this can be done in no time. And they're like, but how does it benefit me? It'll benefit you because then we won't have to do this anymore. Come on!
And we touched on this already a little bit, but a large part of the Skaven psychology just boils down to food scarcity.
Yeah.
Like, a huge part of their everyday life and how they think is food. Food noise is constant for Skaven. They have such fast metabolisms, they need so much food, and there are so many Skaven that food is almost always scarce. So, food is prevalent in the Skaven mind that they measure in food stops, as I discussed. And the Skaven are driven to conquer the surface world for sheer need of food alone. That is their ultimate goal about conquering the surface. We can take all their food.
So are they strictly carnivores?
No.
Or they're omnivores?
They're omnivores. Okay. But they love meat.
Okay, I was just wondering, do they have any kind of, like, agriculture? Or
corn. In fact, Skaven Blight has black corn marshes. Marshes.
Would not have guessed, but okay. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Corn adds up, yeah.
And, but this is why Skaven revel in massacre as well as victory, as we discussed, because of population control. They don't value any other Skaven because there are always more, and any other Skaven would see you die or outright kill you if food became scarce. Which is part of the Skaven psychology, why they don't appreciate anybody else, because everyone else is food.
I can't get too close to you. I might have to eat you one day, and frankly, I'm feeling a little hungry, peckish today.
In one of the novels I was reading, they refer to slaves as meat. They don't call them, they're not people, but it's specifically like, hey, meat, move over here.
Which one?
And then they hit you for saying that, because they're evil.
He meant me, guys.
Don't make me tenderize you more.
So don't make me tenderize you, as he cracks the whip.
It's so bad. So we're going to talk a little bit about Skaven society. The warlord clans dominate the bulk of the Skaven population. Their society is extremely hierarchical, and has a definite pecking order ranging from the lowest slave to the powerful warriors. The warlord is the most powerful or cunning, often both. Daily life is marked by constant struggles for dominance. These fights end in surprisingly few fatalities, but nearly all Skaven possess some sort of scar or wound from these battles, often losing ears or eyes. A Skaven too crippled by fighting can only expect to be summarily butchered and devoured by his peers.
Getting in knife fights every day.
Every day. Over petty shit. Over, you ate the chicken leg that I wanted.
You're lucky if you have a knife.
Rusty spoon fights.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, not even like over petty things, over like, all right, you know how it is.
These are teeth and claw fights.
Yeah.
You know how it is. You're technically in charge of me, and I want to be in charge of you. So I got my knife, you got your own knife. We're doing it every morning. I wait outside his apartment.
So Skaven civilization is centered around the accumulation and the use of warpstone.
Yeah, that's...
What is warpstone? Warpstone is a substance that is the pure stuff of chaos. It is from the Immaterium. It is bad. It will kill and corrupt anyone who touches it for too long, or is even around it for too long. It will mutate you. It will drive you insane. It will outright kill you after a while. It's basically... They're basically radioactive rocks.
Yeah.
Magically radioactive
evil rocks. Green crystals.
And they're bad, and the Skaven cannot get enough of
it. So naturally they love it.
They love that shit. They love that shit. And the older editions, I'm going to touch on this in my origin part, where I go back to like the development of Skaven as like a, like an IP. The Grey Seers have to refine it, and if they don't refine it, it's just as lethal to them as it is everybody else.
Oh, they have to actually make cocaine.
Yeah, the Grey Seers actually make it into cocaine. Oh. It's hilarious. And they have an innate power to do it, and it makes them stronger when they do it. So that's one reason Grey Seers are an integral part of Skaven society, so they're the only ones who can make warpstone safe.
We have to cook them.
Okay.
And...
They're all just Walter White.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all just Walter Whites! It's so good! They hunt down warpstone remorselessly, and often uncovering meteors that were tracked through their observatories. Yes, Skaven have observatories.
For wild crack rocks.
Most of these meteors are the size of a man's fist, but irregular in shape. But the exact size is difficult to range because warpstone basically gulps up light and like emanates a black glow. It kind of has like a black hole almost effect around it. And like it doesn't, like, not towards the middle, but like the way a black hole sucks out light, it glows like that.
Yeah.
It's like eating the light around it, and otherwise it's like a dark green. But it's like this black green kind of thing,
like the band around it, sort of.
Yeah, the band. Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, yeah, terrible, horrible stuff. And raw warpstone of this type is dangerous to all creatures, and yeah, prolonged exposure will cause madness, mutation, and death. Warpstone is used by the great clans with various impact. I will talk about the four great clans later, but to just brush over how they use it. The Clan Mulder uses it to mutate monsters and grow unspeakable horrors.
Yeah, they have like rat ogres and things, mm-hmm. right?
That's... Rat ogres, wolf rats, a whole bunch of giant rats.
They can make the big evil rat from fucking that N64 game, Rampage. They can make the giant rat Rampage.
Yeah, 100%. The Clan Scryer use it to power their experiments and their war machines, like the Warp Fire Thrower, the Rattling Gun, and the Doom Wheel.
I love their puns. Rattling Gun, they don't have the word Gatling over there. In that world, in the world of Warhammer, you could be like, a Gatling Gun? And they'd be like, you're saying that wrong. You mean a Rattling Gun.
Yeah.
They made up that word.
So... So, okay, you're trying to be all logical about this game. But when you're off your fucking face on Warpstone, okay, and it just sounds good, all right, Rattling Gun?
My favorite part about Skaven being on drugs all the time is there was a 4chan post talking about, like, elven swordsmen and being like, imagine studying the blade for 500 years, only to be shot by a rat on cocaine from 500 yards away.
I love that.
Yeah,
there's so many variations of that one.
Dude.
I love the 40K one where it's just like, imagine you're a space marine or an Eldar and you've been refining your craft for millennia, and then you get killed by a horde of screaming green idiots that were born like a week ago.
It's so good. The true grim darkness of the 41st millennium. But yeah, Clan Scryer make their war machines. The Clan Pestilence make flail sensors filled with burning warpstone that vent plumes of deadly smoke that will give you incurable wasting diseases.
They got mustard gas flails?
Mustard gas flails.
Oh, accurate. Man.
But instead of...
And it kills them too, by the way. They're just that...
Oh!
Yeah, they're just that into it.
But instead of chlorine gas, it's evil. Like, it's just made of evil. Which is...
The swinging of crack pipes at us! Run!
Even more devastating, I guess.
The Clan Eshin coat their blades in warpstone and warpstone-infused venoms, and they have a weapon called the Weeping Blade. That is like created with warpstone, and it sweats warpstone venom that's corrosive.
Oh!
And a single cut from a weeping blade will kill you no matter what. You are just dead.
And Queek has three, right?
Deathmaster Snitch.
Snitch.
He has three.
Okay, yeah.
And yeah, they're constantly secreting deadly toxin.
So I was already like, you know, three sword style with tail, like pretty sick. But also you got, you know, evil sword with
evil goo. Yeah, they're made of acid poison.
Like, yeah, that's even more
sick. It's just
when I go into Skaven history, we're going to talk about the Fellblade, which is the evilest sword that Skaven ever were part of.
That's the one with
there are some other swords that are pretty evil, but the Fellblade is pretty fucking evil.
That's the one that they just gave Nagash or whatever. Or?
I'll get into that. But okay. Yeah, that's the tale.
I always remember you telling me about that.
It's so good because you got to read up on Nagash because you're a Lich Boy and he's the Necromancer.
That's why I remember because like everything you told me about Nagash, I was like, hey, he sounds like fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's such a character. God, he's such a character. But in 4th edition, the Grey Seers had the ability to refine Warp Stone, as I discussed.
Yeah.
And this gives them additional powers, and they consider this to be a gift from the Horned Rat, and they play an integral part of Skaven society.
Right. Can't get rid of them.
So if Warp Stone is the cornerstone of Skavendom, then slaves are the lifeblood of Skavendom. They may be of any race, but the majority are just other Skaven conquered by a rival clan.
Right.
Almost always. I'd say 90% of Skaven slaves are just Skaven.
And inversely, 90% of Skaven, well, they're slaves.
Probably not an accurate statement.
I wouldn't have imagined they would be using Skavens that much. I figured they'd like other races more, because it's like, most of them don't need to eat as much as they do.
So, some Skaven have the forward thought to think, hey, dwarves are good at making things, keep this one alive.
Oh, they're just doing it to be dicks. Then, mostly?
Yeah.
They don't think about it.
Okay.
They'll take whatever they can get, but, like, some Skaven are forward-thinking enough to be like, oh, this one's, like, valuable. Like, besides, he's not just food, guys. This one's, like, he's not food and labor. He can, like, do stuff for us.
Okay, yeah. I was trying to be too practical about it.
If you're a notable Skaven, you'll have the thought to be practical.
I was like, humans, like, one, they don't gotta eat as much, and then if they die of starvation, you just get to eat them, like, but...
Yeah, that's the big one. We get to eat. Like I said, they're all meat. At the end of the day, every slave is just meat.
And they're probably all more delicious. They're probably also all more delicious than Skaven.
There is a story, a short story at the beginning of Children of the Horned Rat, what describes a soldier being taken, and like he wakes up in like the Skaven slave pits, and he like gets dragged by his neck to like go like man like a slave wharf or something, like row a boat, and he's like, oh, I can handle rowing. But, like, as he, like, wakes up, there's, like, an old, like, decrepit, like, man, like, emaciated, with no tongue, just babbling at him. And he's like, okay, all right, old man, you must have been here for a while. Yeah, it looks like they've had their way with you for a minute, man. Okay, whatever. God, it sucks that I'm down here. I was looking for my brother. He got taken by the Skaven a few months ago. And that was like, oh, man, they got me, too. Well, hopefully I can find him down here. And he gets on the slave wharf, and the old man starts hitting him again, and he puts up his hand to his hand. And he has his brother's ring. And when he realizes the horrible, decrepit mess his brother became in only 6 months, he went insane.
Man.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, because they'll eat the skin right off your face.
They don't care. Yeah, yeah. They literally hate you. Yeah. The only thing Skaven hate more than other Skaven is non-Skaven, and that's you.
I thought that was going in a different direction. I thought the horror was going to be that the old man without a tongue was just being like, jump in the water.
Die!
Way out.
No, it was his brother.
Die before they chain you to this thing.
Within 6 months, it became a decrepit mess.
I get probably that. Yeah, that's probably even more fucked up.
I mean, that, like, you know, it's also a good reality check for that young man who was like, maybe I can still find him. Maybe I can still find him. You're chained to a slave rowing like line. You're just like, I'll find him. We'll get out of here.
Yeah, we'll get out of here.
What are you, stupid?
I'm built different.
Yeah. Deserve to be eaten by Skaven, you dumb motherfucker.
Oh, fuck. So, the four great clans have ascendancy over all the others. And like I said, these are clan Mulder, Scryer, Eshin, and Pestilence.
Oh.
And then above them are the Grey Seers, which are typically gray for Skaven with horns.
Right.
And they are the priesthood of the Horned Rat. The Horned Rat being the deity of the Skaven.
And because they're, like, born randomly, they're not their own clan. They have to, like, pull from the other clans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but they're recruited from Greyford Skaven that are horned.
Yeah.
It's, they got a whole, like, we are the council kind of vibe to them, right? Like,
yeah, there's the Council of 13, which are the original Council of 13 were all Greyford Skaven, called the Grey Lords. But over the millennia, they've just do backstabbing and scheming. It's anybody who can get up there.
We've diversified our leadership.
But recently in the lore, there's the pillar of black, the black pillar of commandments, which basically you have to be chosen now. But even after being chosen, you still have to take somebody else's seat, and they can just kill you. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a whole thing.
You're allowed to be up here. If you can take it.
Yeah, if you can take it. Literally, if you can take it. If you can scheme and backstab enough, you can take it.
You know, I was going to say, like, how do you just, like, disrespect something that's apparently ordained by your god? But no, he would respect it. He would.
That's how shitty the Mormon is. That's how shitty their whole society is. I'm going to go on into the language a little bit here. The Skaven language is called Queekish.
Hilarious.
It is a chittering, hasty speech littered with hodgepodge and rapid trills and squeaks. The words are short, clipped, and often repeated several times in a row to add emphasis. Due to the speed in which Queekish is spoken, long sentences are often broken up into several fragments, which need to be pieced together to form coherent thoughts. Written Queekish consists of thousands of pictographs. Most Skaven know the important ones, but only a few can recite them all. As new discoveries are made, new pictograms are made. They write with a stylus or claw, and used to keep records in wax or clay tablets. But now they use ink and parchment. They used to do wax and clay. Skaven are able linguists and learn other languages better to deal with their slaves. Other languages are inferior but useful tools, and scent plays a massive part in Skaven communication, with several musks being tied to different emotions. The most notable musk is the musk of fear. An elite Skaven will spend an amount of time to mask their musks and therefore mask their emotions.
So let me say right here, I love the idea that they're like, these other languages are so inferior. And then, like, just a moment before, like, it, even to them, they're like, obviously not all of us can know how to read. Language is hard. And you know, if you say a sentence that's too long, you really have to think about it, because our language, it makes it all but unintelligible. but those other languages are stupid.
So the closest, like, IRL parallel I could probably think of would be like old ass like Chinese, because basically the situation was just like the characters were like so complex and there's so many of them,
yeah,
that like only the elite could learn them all because it just took that much effort. And then that's why like simplified Chinese, like basically, yeah, like fucking changed like China.
Simplified Queekish would change the
because people, everyone could just fucking write now.
Yeah,
like, I'm a simp for King Sejong, so Korea used to use Chinese characters for their language. And then one of their kings, Sejong, spent 7 years and went blind developing Hangul so that they could have their own simple character system that actually made sense. And it's like one of the most intuitive character systems because it's based off speech organs.
All right.
Super cool.
So obviously what I'm about to say is going to be like very heretical and bad. And
let's hear it.
Not good or correct. This is obviously not what happened, but I think it's very funny. I'm imagining he's blind and he's come back from 7 years in seclusion with his new language for everyone. And then he gives it to them, and then he tries to explain each of the symbols, and every time he's pointing, it's like a different thing completely.
He's blind.
Because he's fucking it's so blind.
So fucking stupid. That's... It's so dumb. You're dumb.
I'm sorry. He's explaining the language. He's just pointing and like gesturing at the back of the page because he doesn't see that it's
turning it into like the fucking the Ringo Starr situation. It's just like, good job, King. We're gonna put it right here, right up on the fridge where everyone can see.
No,
your Mongol's real good.
I'm sorry.
Disrespecting this country.
I'm sorry. That's a really cool story, but I can't think in serious terms. I have to be silly.
So back to Skaven.
Skaven, yes.
Yeah, sorry, Korea.
So physical posture is important in Skaven communication. Mm. It is customary for a lesser Skaven to keep his nose below his master's. This results in entire rooms head bobbing as they adjust their snouts below their master's but above their lessers. That is one of the cutest little things about them, I think. Isn't that so silly?
That just seems like it'd be fucking annoying.
Wouldn't it be?
Like, yeah.
Wouldn't it be, like, to risk life and limb because you didn't tilt your head the right way? It's, and then be called bitch made because you didn't tilt your head the right
That's
way?
That's, like, next level posturing. Like, it's nuts.
It's the best language in the world. You see, no one understands each other, and you have to both see, smell, hear, and probably taste the people you're talking to in order to actually understand what...
So taste... I can actually bring an example of that. So there's a short story.
It's the worst language ever invented. They don't know what
they're
doing.
There's a short story.
Something simple about
where it starts off with the Claw Lord. He's like, he's assembled all of like the other like leaders of the units and stuff. And they're taking a dwarf hold and he assembles them in like the dwarf, the hall that they just took. Hmm. And he like, he's facing away from all the Skaven and he says, so the Dwarf King is a most formidable adversary. And then he turns around, showing off his engorged belly. I have eaten him. And then all the other Skaven are like, oh, what, Nunny? And he's like, yes, I have eaten him and taken his strength for my own. I shall lead the clan now. And then they're like, okay, cool. Bet, dude.
Sure.
You ate that guy. Obviously, you're in charge.
It's just like, seems legit.
Exactly.
You ate all of him? All of him.
Yeah, exactly. A whole fucking dwarf. That's a lot of meat, dude. That's like going to like one of those like gimmick restaurants of being like,
even the beard.
Yeah, no. Skaven are horrible. They're fucking horrible.
It's one of those challenges at a restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally a challenge at a restaurant.
Eat a whole dwarf in half an hour and take ownership of your clan.
Do they have restaurants? Is that a thing?
I believe they would, yeah. Skaven still have, like, society and buildings and merchants and stuff.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. They're just terrible.
They have society still,
and
somehow.
They have, like, market squares and shit, yeah.
When my evil black cornbread takes off, I'm taking over this whole shebang.
I like that they have stuff like that. Like, that you eat a whole dwarf at the food stops, though. Yeah. You know? Like, it costs extra, but it's just like, can you do it?
Can you do it?
Step right up. Like,
yeah. Oh, 5 warpstone tokens. Can you eat the whole dwarf? Otherwise, it's free.
They have to have fun somehow.
You know what I mean?
It can't all be about victory.
Oh, speaking of fun, one of the things you can buy at a Skaven Bazaar is a halfling pet.
What's a halfling pet?
A halfling.
Like a hobbit?
Mm-hmm.
Just
grab them, they nab them, and you keep them as pets. They're cute.
They probably would be hilarious to escape.
Exactly.
Because it looks like it's like a human, but like tiny.
And like angrier and hungry.
And like even tinier than us. Like, isn't that hilarious? Like,
they're adorable. We might eat it later.
Yeah, they eat it for a snack later when it gets boring. So I'm going to go into Skaven culture a little bit more. Respect is the cornerstone of Skaven culture.
That's the vibe. That is the vibe I've been getting.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Lessers must respect and offer deference to their superiors. Flattery is also considered customary. Bestowing creative euphemisms is considered and performed in many Skaven communities, especially among Clan Scryer. The more creative one's flattery, the more likely they are to rise over their peers. Some examples are Killer Killer of Man Things, The Bold Brave Leader, and The Shrewd Clever Master.
It's just like a different kind of dumb than orc names.
You know what I mean?
But it's got the same energy, you know?
If you come up with the best nickname, you're the best Skaven lackey.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get he notices you more and is less likely to make you on a suicide mission than the other guys.
Like Killer Killer of Man Things, what you said, right?
Yeah.
Like that is all but the same as the friggin' orc from the Grotsnake book who named his squig Killface. Like, it's the same fucking thing. Like, basically, it's just, you know, they just threw some more words in there.
Oh, yeah, Skaven are fucking terrible.
They got hype men, they got a Chinese-style character system that's too complicated for anyone to understand, they have language nobody can put together if you say too long of a sentence, you have to smell correctly while you're speaking.
Oh, you have to smell correctly.
Can they lie with smells?
I would assume...
Someone's doing that, right?
Yeah, because they said, they make it a point that the elites will, like, learn to mask their emotions or change their emotions with their musks. So they can throw people off.
The technique of Lord Onionback, because he always had an onion behind his back.
That's funny. That's like a really weird Yeah, I haven't seen that in a lot of other things, I don't think. Yeah, that's
I like it because it plays to the fact that they're more rats than men. So, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. animals typically use other senses than we do because we just mostly use our eyes and ears.
Yeah, scent marking and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, scent marking is actually a thing that I'll bring up a little later.
God, I don't want to know how they do it.
Peeing.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, right,
just pissing right on you. Like, it's something that commonly happens. A superior will mark his lowers. It's considered a great honor, but it's obviously not.
Just gives you a gold shower real quick.
Get over here, I have to honor you.
That way you know, like, that's what you know he's directly mine. Yeah. Otherwise, he wouldn't smell like me.
Fair enough.
He'd smell like your piss if he was available.
Foolish for me to try to judge Skaven.
An interesting part of their culture, infanticide is a common practice among conquering clans.
You gotta.
The juveniles are eaten in a celebratory dinner, and the elders are enslaved.
Okay, yes. All right. Can't just eat them. It's gotta be a celebration.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we won. Time to eat all the babies.
They probably are really tender.
It's so fucked up, dude. It's I mean, so fucked up.
If you're comparing Skaven... Skaven
so good. Bad.
If you're talking about just like Skaven meat, the babies probably are the tastiest.
You know what I mean? That's probably why they're so happy about it. You know? Yeah. It's not great, but...
And these actions typically mark the end of the clan's line. Because, yeah, they
keep
lost,
the brood so. Mothers?
I think so.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
I would assume so. It doesn't say that they kill them. I mean, they kill all the young. They're just like, yeah, these aren't our offspring, so we're going to eat them.
Stay hot, ladies, with your opium and your femboys.
Yes, sir. And then slaves are typically never allowed access to breeders unless they can rise back up to a higher rank, which is almost never. Most slaves are dire slaves.
It's a beautiful aspect of Skaven culture that expressly you can earn your way out of being a slave, and also implicitly, I'm obviously never going to say you've earned your way out of being a slave.
No. It has to be made evident by somehow that happening.
People have to witness it. Like, you have to save like a busload of people on a bridge. Like,
save. Well, kill a busload of people on a bridge.
Save them for everybody to eat.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was the thing with Skaven, though.
Nah, your little crash and burn's already pre-cooked. But,
baby.
Let's get
save him from falling in the river.
I imagine a superior trying to calm down his dudes, because, you know, they all think, like, I'll make it back up. And he's just like, guys, calm down. Have some warpstone.
Have some warp stone. Calm down, guy.
Oh, thanks, boss.
So, going back to marking, Skaven feel more comfortable around things that smell like them. That's one of the main reasons they mark. And
the stink of clean.
Subordinates will be marked, and then who in turn mark their subordinates.
It's piss all the way down. That's how
hierarchy is established in Skavendom.
God. You can smell them coming before you.
You have to memorize mm-hmm. all of your generals' piss smells.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way you can identify your own soldiers that work for your generals. Because you piss on your generals, obviously. And then they have to piss on their guys.
Wait.
So you have to know what your generals smell like.
Does that mean...
Keep piss swatches on you?
Skaven piss
hold
swatch!
Hold that thought. Which one's the ninjas?
Eshin.
Eshin. Do they steal piss?
For deep cover infiltration?
Yeah, I can't confirm. This is all speculation. Right?
Yeah, that's...
But it would not be too far to say that a Skaven team of gutter runners infiltrated to steal someone's piss, to mark someone improperly, to sow confusion and discord. I would not put that above.
Just imagine a scenario where it's like they infiltrated and they caught it somehow. I don't know how they catch the piss, but then
they have
like
the they piss get specialist.
It and then it's just like, we've done it, now we can infiltrate, and then they're just like, yeah, remember? And then they just start spreading it all over themselves.
Scent mark the piss-assin!
Yeah.
And they pour it on him like Gatorade.
Yeah, they're not good.
And with that, we're going to end tonight's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy the nature of this content, go and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can give us a follow on Blue Sky, and you can support us on our Patreon. I'd like to give a special thanks to our aspiring Magus, Uncle Maddie, and a super thanks to our fellow Scryers, Midnight Grimoire, Gary Goblino, The Greater Good Boy, and my mom. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.